Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and radio.com presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Reading, writing, and reason. And boy, what a week it's been for this podcast, for all the stuff that's occurring out there. We have a big interview, our big interview of the week coming up. We're going to speak with a woman named Rachel Kill out there in the Tredyffrin Easttown School District. And I am thrilled that people are taking my advice. We're seeing hordes of people run for the school board. Whatever happens with the governor and the president and all that, we've seen it, haven't we? What goes on with these local school boards with so many kids still at home? She's taking the ball and running out there in a good school district academically, but one, for whatever reason, teacher union, etc., they've been blocked from being back in person. All right, but before we get to Rachel, let me give you some of the stuff that I've seen this week that you may not have seen and drill down on it a little bit. That this is as bad as it gets. Now, if you're a fan of The Wire as I am, I could go and watch it again right now, particularly the season where they incorporated the Baltimore schools. All right, remember the cop who got involved in that killing, that shooting? Things went awry. He had to drop out. He became a teacher, a really tough and good teacher. Remember all that? Great stuff. Well, a Baltimore high school student making news. Here's the headline. Baltimore high school student fails all but three classes over 4 years and yet ranks near the top half of his class. Tiffany Francis Sun still ranked at number 62 in his class of 120 total students, even how minimal it is in the Baltimore schools, he failed all but three classes over 4 years. Now, he was at least taking, I would assume, because they change over semesters and all this, he had to be taking over 20, 25 classes. He only passes three, and yet he's right there in the middle of his class. His GPA, if you're ready, write this one down, 0.13. Tiffany France, the mother of the failing student, thought her son would be receiving his diploma for the Augusta Fell Savage Institute of Visual Arts in June. However, she was surprised to discover he's being sent back to the ninth grade to start over. She expressed frustration with the school, asking why her son would have to complete three more years of high school after the school failed him. He failed 22 classes, was late or absent 272 days over his first 3 years of high school. Well, she has some responsibility with that. Only one teacher requested a parent-teacher conference, but France said that didn't happen. Despite this, her son still ranked 62nd in the class of 120 total students. Wow. Just think of the proficiency level of the kid that's graduating and he's in the 120. She said the school failed at their job. They failed. That's a problem here. He didn't deserve that. Fox 45 in Baltimore found that hundreds of students are flunking classes at the Augusta Fell Savage Institute. You know, what do they think? This school would be better if they put a name. Listen to this name again. The Augusta Fell Savage Institute of Visual Arts in West Baltimore. France said she has three children, works three jobs, didn't realize her son was failing until February. Even though he was failing, the school continued to promote him. After failing Spanish 1 and Algebra 1, for example, the school still allowed him to take Spanish 2 and Algebra 2. She said, quote, "I'm just assuming that if you are passing, if you have the proper things to do in the next grade and the right grades, you'll have the right credits. They never gave my son an opportunity." Well, Augusta Fell School Institute Visual Arts did not respond to media requests for an interview. I got to say, I don't know what this mom is doing. Was she paying attention here or not? Now they've issued a statement. They're reviewing actions that impacted student outcomes at the school. The statement reads, "She's pulled her son out of the school. He's currently enrolled in an accelerated program that could allow him to graduate in 2023. My God. You know, The Wire, I might go back and watch that, what that teacher was up against. Remember, he was teaching a math class. He had some of the kids that I remember were, I don't know, that they were 12, 13, and they were already in the drug trade and stuff like that. But my God, Baltimore, boy, I don't even know if they would do this in Philadelphia. That is just stunning, even for what goes on in the big city public schools. And more people are seeing this. We're seeing the monopoly they have. We're seeing the teachers' unions continue to do their nonsense throughout this entire thing. The other big story this week, of course, and I wanted to update you on some things here on Reading, Writing, and Reason, our big podcast with Dan. I'm not sure if this is the fifth or sixth, but we're working on another big one for this coming up. What's happened is that Dr. Seuss books have essentially been canceled. In that, given all the stuff that went on this past week, eBay is not allowing people to sell their Dr. Seuss books, as I understand it, not just the six that Dr. Seuss Enterprises have put aside, but all of their books, all of the Dr. Seuss books. So we'll have more on that with a special guest, hopefully in the next podcast, who defends going after Dr. Seuss. You want to hear that. It's going to be a really, really good one. Coming up, we are going to talk with Rachel Kill, who, as I said, is a mom out there in the suburbs, nice school district, Tredyffrin, East Town. And this mom is now suddenly running for school board, the Republican primary on May 18th, something you consider if you're out there, because she's had it with the failure of the schools to reopen in person to offer that. When we had her on, you'll hear the interview coming up. We were amazed at how buttoned up she was with all the material that she had tracking this stuff. And she gave me a look at public schools in Chester and Delaware counties, are where we are right now about, well, she said that there's a generalized group of pro-reopening parents with 5,500 actively keeping track of the reopening of schools in our entire area. These people are doing a better job than the media, because I can't find this anywhere. A few weeks ago, this chart was put out. Parent involvement is really working. Bensalem will have hybrid 4 days at the high school level. That's pretty hybrid and 4 days. Bristol Borough, 5 full days. Good for Bristol. Bristol Township, though, only hybrid. Now, wait a minute. If you're in Bristol Borough and Bristol Township, I know what you're saying. Wait a minute, Tom, you're right. I know where you're going. You're in the same area, Bristol Borough and Bristol Township. Why is one 5 full days in person, the borough, and why is the township just hybrid? Central Bucks on this sheet now is 5 full days a week. That grade 7 through 12 returned 5 days a week on February 22nd. Council Rock, elementary is 4 full days, middle school 5, and high school 5. Huh. That's interesting. Neshaminy, and they have a tough teachers union. They are elementary 4 or 5 full days, hybrid for middle school, hybrid 5 full days for high school. And on it goes. It's a pretty comprehensive list. I'm still amazed, though, with the Bristol and the township versus the other borough. Chester Upland has now returned, as I understand it, 5 days a week in-person option that you have. So, you know, this chart might be a little bit outdated, but from what I can tell, due to that Chester, Delaware County head of public health out there, saying kids only have to be 3 feet apart. What we're seeing is an uptick in schools now, sometime in March, going to offer in-person maybe 5 days a week. But here's just a perfect example. Bristol Borough, Bristol Township. Now, I'm not sure if it's still current or not. As I said, it might be a hair dated. Why is Bristol Borough 5 full days across the board, and why is Bristol Township hybrid? They're both in the same area. We'll continue, though, pointing this out. You know my remedy. Run for school board. Back people who are parents and others running for the school board to push back on what we saw here. My theory with some of these teachers' unions, it's not even about the money from Washington. It's about the fact they're showing, they're flexing their muscles. They're showing power. They're showing, don't cross us in the next dispute we have. Look at what we did during this period of time. That's exactly what's going on. All right, coming up, the big interview of our podcast this week, Rachel Kill, mom out there in Tredyffrin, East Town, running for school board and a very, very detailed campaign. She'll lay out what's happening and why she's the person to help turn it around right here with Dom Giordano on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and radio.com presentation. It's Reading, Writing, and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Welcome to this week's edition of just something that's taken off incredibly because of what's going on in schools and what's going on with the Biden administration and locally, Reading, Writing, and Reason, in which we have a big interview of the week. Last week it was the Catholic schools exclusively, their Secretary of Education, elementary school level. How were they able to be back in school, at least at the elementary level, almost from the beginning with in-person learning 5 days a week? Little things like shields on wheels that they concocted where the teacher can actually be blocked by a shield but get close to the kids. We've also seen this week the 3-foot rule out in where our guest is coming to play, that Chester and Delaware County, their public health agreed with Bucks County now. Children only have to be 3 feet apart, keep the adults 6 feet apart from the kids, have the mitigation responses that you need, and everything will be good. But we have a special guest, and I was just kidding her, commending her. I saw her on Fox News with John Roberts and Sandra Smith. Rachel Kill is a mom out in the suburbs with a couple of kids. I think it's at least two kids. And she is in a school district that I was going to ask her about because, you know, people move not just because of the home and the street and all that. The school district is a key. And Tredyffrin Easttown, I happen to think, is one of the most touted school districts in the entire state, big time. And yet they've had all kinds of problems. I have the timeline of events with even having a hybrid model in their schools. As a result, Rachel, I believe, is running for the school board. Rachel joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Rachel, welcome in, and very, very nice presence on Fox News Channel. How did they find out about you?
Thank you so much for having me, Dom. I really appreciate being on your show. And, you know, the Fox News interview, actually, you know, part of it was I was just in the right place at the right time. I was part of a parent advocacy group, which I've told you all about and which we'll talk about today. But also I had been asked to run for school board. And, you know, I accepted immediately. It's something I'm very passionate about. And they thought that that was an interesting spin on their storyline that they've been pushing about returning kids to the classroom.
So when are the elections in Tredyffrin Easttown? You're running for a school board there. How soon is that?
So the primaries are in May, and then November is the general election.
And I hope there's a lot of action because we really have been pushing this exactly. Moms like you, mainly moms that are part of these grassroots groups, Rachel, to get involved and to do this. We can have all the presidential decrees, the state and whatever. If a school board can do pretty much what it wants in Pennsylvania right now, your school board, like others, could say we're reopening and that's it, right?
That's my understanding, yeah. I mean, you know, of course, every single school is in a different situation as far as what the local health departments are saying and, you know, the state, yeah, they're following state guidelines as well. But it's up to the schools to decide what they want to do, and it has been for a while. So you see schools doing all kinds of different things, but the trend in our area has been to follow the local Chester County Health Department guidance and, you know, and kind of use that as their guideline for reopening. And that it is just a guideline, you know, just to be clear about that, it is a guideline, and they've been kind of following it to the letter and using it like it's a mandate.
Now, I find this interesting, the material you sent us, and that's what got me. Were you a stay-at-home mom? I know you have youngest children, or were you doing an outside-the-house career in addition to that?
Yeah, so I do have two small kids. One is 4 and one is 7, and my husband and I both work full-time.
Oh, okay. So this is taking on a lot, but here's one of the bullet points you sent us. My hesitation to go on national news, Fox, and out myself as a Republican melted away when a local therapist told me about the suicide rates among students doubling or tripling depending on age. He believes the mental health wellness stats are not even close to a peak, and this will be years in the making. So why did you feel, you know, where you are with it, that there are a lot of Republicans in a place like that, no?
There were much more than I realized there were.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot just in the last few weeks, to be honest with you, about the makeup of our, you know, our voting registration out here. But, you know, we've been in such a divisive political climate for so long that it's people just don't want to talk about what they're registered as, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. So, you know, in polite, you know, I don't try to keep it a secret that I'm a Republican, but you know, I don't say it exactly when I'm introducing myself to someone, and we, you know, generally try to avoid the topics of politics, you know, just
yeah,
so that
I
we can
you.
All get along for the most part. Yeah,
well,
but that is true about,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, Dom, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Rachel. I was going to ask you, this is breaking down in some instances along political lines, by and large, although there are some Democrats who see it the way that you and I do around this. And nationally, it seems to break down. Montgomery County breaks down that way. And it's just, what have you seen in your own children? So you have a 4-year-old. Tell us about the 7-year-old. What is his day or her day like as far as, do they go to school at all? Is it hybrid at this point?
Yeah, so this summer, we were in our public school. And that was going great last year. We were very happy. As John Roberts had pointed out, we moved here for the school. We had a decision we made based on where we bought our house, and we were very happy. Everything was going great. But when schools closed, going into first grade, it's a foundation year as far as learning to read and write and all those good things, developing a love of learning, social, emotional growth. We just did not want to take the risk that, we would be in a virtual learning situation. So we decided, halfway through the summer when our district and a lot of schools in the area really weren't coming up with a plan, not really releasing much details or information, we decided to have a backup plan and apply to private school. So my first grader is currently in private school, and they've been in person this entire time, regardless of community transmission levels, and they've just been doing an absolutely fantastic job. I'm just so thrilled by the work they've been doing. And my four-year-old, as I've said, is in a daycare. And as you probably realize, daycares have been allowed to be open this entire time as well.
We're talking with Rachel Kill, candidate for the Tredyffrin Easton School Board, the primary being in May. You say the breaking point, and by the way, Tredyffrin Easton has the resources, I would say, of almost every school district I know in the state. It's not like Philadelphia saying these are ancient buildings or whatever. That's why the private schools can go back and we can't. It's a decision that's being made there. Right, wrong, or indifferent, right? It's not a resource issue of crumbling buildings and ventilation and all those things.
Right, that's my understanding as well. I don't really see how we're any different from any other school that's been open this entire time.
All right, and Rachel's with us here as the big interview of the week on Reading, Writing, and Reason. And you wrote to us that when the vaccine started to become available in December, our January board meeting did not even discuss the topic of kids returning for more full-time learning. Clearly, this was not even on their minds. Now, to that point, you would think with educated, in-touch parents like you, this would have been the hot-button debate, at least a big debate. When is the time right to do that? What's your sense of why that didn't come up?
That's a great question. I wish I knew the answer to that. So this is the point that you described in January when, we had entered what I refer to personally as just the realm of lunacy. At this point, let me paint a picture. Private, parochial, many nearby public schools, daycares, these learning centers that have popped up, they've all been open this entire time. In addition to that, we can take our kids to malls, we can take them to restaurants, to indoor play places, we can go on a plane and go to Disney World, but, our school district still had not released or even discussed the existence of a plan to fully open. And we also, when we formed as a group and started, comparing notes, we realized that we were getting the same canned generic response to our inquiries. They would just kind of change the name and say, "Dear so-and-so, now here's our response to your questions." And just that there was a major disconnect between us and the board. I wish I could answer your question about
that's fine.
It was not on the January agenda. It should have been.
Here, I'll give you the hopeful thing, because on my show, Rachel, I keep on asking this. We're very friendly with Dr. Damsker over in Bucks. And now the Chester Delco woman has come along to the 3-foot rule. She's a little bit more nuanced than Damsker is in Bucks. I can't understand how Montgomery County just wallows in this. But here's the heartening thing. Shortly after a group of parents in our district form, in one district, you say over 800 strong parents and sprang into action just in that district?
That's right. Yep. So we started out, as a group of, when we started our email campaign, we were about 500 strong, and now we're up to 800. And I like to think of us as, I call us, this is my term for us, the purple wave. We are a bipartisan, pro-teacher, respectful, supportive group of parents with one common goal. And that goal is to provide a full-time in-person option for our kids. And,
right.
After this realm of lunacy that I described,
right.
We're just no longer willing to be silent. And we will not stop until this is achieved.
I have to tell you, I'm putting myself in the mind of those dragging their feet or dithering And I hate you, Rachel Kill, because you crawl with everything that's positive about this. It's purple. It's bipartisan. You're obviously respectful. You know, if I interrupted, but, you know, you got to go. You get the flow of that. And seeing you on Fox News, you're well-spoken. You just want your kids and all kids to be back in there. So what is the response? You say the action work, this email campaign, yard signs, the school superintendent released a video statement with more details about the decision to remain hybrid and announced he'd be bringing individual kids back for more in-person days as space allowed. He asked us to advocate for the teachers to get immediate access to the vaccine. Well, that's common sense. But you're not back in school with that kind of option 5-day week yet, are you?
Right. So at the time, that was early February. So that was during our email campaign. And we put out yard signs, you know, demanding in a much less polite wording that they fully open immediately. And so we did get an immediate response, which was great. And I commend Dr. Gusick for doing this. He released a video statement, you know, releasing more information and just being a little more transparent about the decision to remain hybrid and, you know, gave some information about the schools and, you know, and just additional details, and also announced that he'd be bringing back students individually where it made sense from a spacing perspective, because, you know, part of the issue is that we are hybrid, but not everybody is sending their kids. So some parents report that, you know, their classrooms only have a couple of kids in them. So, you know, the question is, well, why can't we bring some more? So that was some immediate action that he took at that time, which we really appreciated.
Okay. Two, I have to commend you. The information you sent, you write about a more generalized group of pro-opening parents with 5,500 members actively keeping track of the reopening status of schools in our area. Thank you for doing that, because the media is not, and I've been trying, you know, it's hard for one person to get my hands on where some of these are. So we'll put that up on Twitter and Facebook. It is a great resource. So let me give you the argument on the other side. The superintendent's doing the right things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what's the beef then? Why are you not satisfied, Rachel, people would say? Why are you running for school board if they're trying to do the right things here?
Well, you know, I'm running for school board because this, you know, we definitely need more diversity of thought on our board. I mean, I just think that, you know, not all of them, and I don't mean to generalize, but for the most part, we've gotten here because we're just, there's a breakdown in communication, and we're not fully represented on our board as far as having, you know, representation from parents with small kids. I also have some concerns about the community transmission guidance, you know, that they're following now. I mean, I worry about the future because, you know, the fact that schools have been successfully in person this entire time at all transmission levels, I worry that, you know, this encourages us to kind of fight amongst ourselves over keeping levels down, and provides a distraction away from school administration, the actual decision makers. And I worry that the bar is just going to continue to be raised over and over. I mean, remember, this started out as a 3 to 6 foot distancing issue, and now it's based on community transmission levels. And there's talk of it, you know, being about vaccines for teachers and maybe even students. And, you know, what will be after that? What about the common cold? You know, we're always going to have some kind of cold or flu to worry about. I think we're entering a dangerous territory, and we need to change the direction.
Yeah, the goalposts have been moved. Unbelievable. They've been moved 50 yards back at this point. So I'll ask you if you have a website or where people can go to find you in a moment. But as we are right now, you mentioned pro-teacher. I'm pro-teacher, but not so much some of the activist types, at least nationally, I think, that are part of it. What do the teachers' unions say? Are they a player in this, or is it just the board has a scientific difference? Call it what you will.
You know, that's a great question, and I wish I knew the answer to that. I mean, we know that the head of the teachers' union spoke to the Chester County Health Department at the same time we were talking to the Chester County commissioners, encouraging them to, you know, to relax the guidance on the 3 to 6 foot rule, know, we know that he was advocating for the teachers and for them to not change the guidance. I don't know the answer to how much that is actually affecting the decision that our administration is making. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be a big part of the problem. It likely is, but I just don't know enough about it, you know, to say for sure.
And do you know the compensation level, by and large, in Tredyffrin and Easttown? I bet there are teachers, you know, and again, it's because you move there, superior teaching, you get superior people, pay is one of the incentives. I bet, from what I know, I didn't look up the scale, some of them are in the $85,000 or $90,000 a year, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, they're very well compensated teachers. I don't know how that compares to districts around us, but of course, you know, our teachers are amazing, and I think that the average teacher in our district, and don't quote me on this, but I just know from experience that they have higher levels of degrees. You know, many yes. of them have master's degrees, and, you know, they move here as well to teach in our district because they know that they're going to be supported. They know that, you know, the parents are involved, and this is just a great place to be.
Well, absolutely, and that's compensation is well-deserved there. We're talking with Rachel Kill, who's running for school board in Tredyffrin, Easton, and you seem to be in touch across the area. So you've given me hope, Rachel, that more parents are organizing, pushing back with respect on this, and challenging what may not even be exactly a scientific claim, but the argument is, well, if we don't do anything, that's the better course of action. We can't be accused of anything or nothing can go wrong. And you mentioned what is obvious, what has gone wrong with many kids. I'm a former high school teacher, and I can't even imagine at the high school level. It's already bad enough. Kids of that age, depression, other different things going on. When your seven-year-old was doing this, what was the schedule like when he was at home with Zoom and virtual learning?
So last spring when schools closed, you know, we showed a lot of grace to our district because it just happened kind of out of nowhere. No one was prepared right. for virtual learning to just start up as the main form of learning, but it was 100% asynchronous. So, you know, we just kind of got a lot of links in the morning to lesson plans, and there was a lot on YouTube. There were some different apps like Raz Kids and, you know, things like that. They gave us as many resources as they could, and God bless them because, I mean, that was not an easy job at the time, still not an easy job now, but it just wasn't working. I mean, most kids can't learn that way. And it just wasn't working for our son specifically. So
you know, as a professional, what it's like to be doing Zoom calls and things of that nature, trying to do that all day long. It's draining beyond belief. And with kids, I know that's just a stopgap. It's supplementary. It's the interaction, the mm-hmm. eye contact with the teacher, the day-to-day. And it's cumbersome, Rachel. I've taught both ways at the college level, and it's very cumbersome versus if you're there. Just different things by body language, et cetera. You can see what's going on. The other way, explaining to 20 different people is just slows everything down. So you said the primary is in May, and that means you're running on the Republican side to be one of the Republican contenders.
That's correct. Okay. So there are two openings coming up in my area, which is Easttown. And there are two Republicans running.
Okay. And do you have a website or Facebook page where people can find out what you're doing?
Yeah. So you can go to easttownrepublicans.com. And that is the website where we, you know, talk about everything we're doing in the community and who our candidates are and what we stand for.
Well, in addition to which, you're a great resource for other parents listening to Reading, Writing, and Reason to organize. I mean, we have Clarice Schillinger on a lot over in Montgomery County, and it's amazing how grassroots this is. But just in one district, 800 parents, bipartisan, that isn't, you know, if it were a county even, that's a lot of people on the spur of the moment. That speaks well, and you're doing it the right way. I don't hear anything that's out of control, threatening or whatever, but urgency is the watchword. And it appears there's no excuse right now. Has anything changed since this Chester County Health Board has sort of gone to the 3-foot rule, at least you know, given your area. Has that, no movement yet on that?
Right, yep. So in our district specifically, thankfully, the February board meeting finally had this as the primary agenda item as far as returning back to school. So that was a couple weeks ago. It was on a Monday. And, you know, they detailed their desire, at
okay.
least at that point, to come up with a plan to bring students back. And then the following Monday, they did have more of a plan, a more detailed plan, which they're still working on because there's been a survey that's gone out. They're still working on getting data from that. But they have announced that they're going to bring kids back for 4 days in person, starting, I believe, on March 15th, dependent on those community transmission levels. And then we will hopefully move to 5 days a week at some point in April.
All right. Well, it's working what you're doing. We're very supportive. We've never gotten anyone sending us a document like this. So certainly your detail, attention to detail is there. Again, Rachel, thank you so much. Good luck in May. But keep us in the loop. You have Dan's information. And if there's anything that comes up, any update, we'd love to talk with you again.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. There's Mom Rachel Kill running for school board on the Republican side. It's the primary coming up in May. If you're out there or a parents group, this is the person to contact and to get more information about what you could be doing in your school district. All right, we continue here on Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom Giordano and Dan on Talk Radio 1210.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and Radio.com presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome back to Readin', Writin', and Reason, our big new podcast. Thank you for all the people that are sharing it. Tell people about it. We break down the national, local, statewide, it doesn't matter, education, parenting, spending issues, what's really going on. I'm thrilled that at least schools are becoming a major deal. I'm not thrilled, though, that there's a gathering movement, and we try to coach you to get ahead of this, to push back, like Washington Post opinion columnist Catherine Rampell. She writes, school's in for summer. At least it should be. We were on it when President Biden had that town hall way back when, remember that, a few weeks ago? And said, oh, yeah, school districts, I hear they're considering staying open all summer. Yeah, Jake Tapper, I think it was Jake. Yeah, Jake. This is kind of like another semester. What? Well, she writes, it's a phenomenal idea. We should be moving mountains, and there will be a few, to make this happen for every child in the United States who's fallen behind this year. Now, I don't know for a fact, but I'm guessing either this woman does not have kids, or if she did, I pity them. She doesn't get it. Are you crazy? I wouldn't be in favor of this for any summer. I'm not, and I'm never going to be. Stop telling me about the Chinese and we have to go to school in the summer, and don't tell me about summer slide. That's easily correctable with enrichment, a little bit of work a few times a week. Kids are not going to lose everything. I didn't. I'm a result of that. Okay? You read over the summer. If there's some math thing, you do some of that. That's it. Particularly after a year of Zoom. Who are these people? Well, here's some things from the big article she wrote to open up the gauntlet on this. Lengthy summer vacations have been questionable given research suggesting that many students lose some of what they learned the previous school year. Stop it already. Just stop it. Look, if you're one of these parents and the system wants to provide this, who wants to send their kid to school, I think you're wrong beyond belief. But okay, don't bother the other children. Let them have a summer, particularly those that did well. Summer school is a punishment. Have we forgotten that? She goes on to say, the Learning Policy Institute, it would cost about $36 billion to provide just 20 additional days of schooling for half of the country's students. All right? She said they should aim bigger. They've only have $29 billion in the budget for something like this. More crazy spending. Another possible hurdle is teachers' collective bargaining agreements. Okay? Make more money might persuade them. Oh, yes, keep spending, lady. Reason four, some families might push back on proposals to extend the school year, particularly higher-income parents who enroll their kids in camps and other summer enrichment. She said, well, I'm not concerned about what those families do, but policymakers should start building the case for summertime schooling now with lower and moderate income families. Finally, there are infrastructure issues. A lot of schools don't have air conditioning. Wait a minute. Ho, ho. Stop it right there. Pope Francis, AOC, and everybody else, that flies in the face of the Green New Deal, doesn't it? All that air conditioning blowing around all summer there? I don't think that's such a good idea. You know, if the kids are going to learn about climate and all that in there, I think they ought to be in sweat boxes because then they can be told, oh, just imagine how much worse it's going to be. So you better not do anything today that we deem unnecessary. Yeah, but I saw DiCaprio. He's got a private jet. Well, DiCaprio needs a private jet to go around the world and lecture dumb kids like you about climate. So there. Infrastructure issues, school air conditioning, sweltering July classes. Schools should begin making capital investment or find other suitable facilities or plan ways to get students additional instruction and tutoring through longer school days or weekend classes. Oh, yes. After we've had this whole situation with Zoom classes, that's exactly the way to go. And I just mentioned the spending. A buddy of mine, former head guy in the field of, he was an education czar at the state level. He sent me a proposal that was sent by the following, when you're talking about spending money on all this stuff, to Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy. It comes from the American Federation of School Administrators, of teachers, the Council of Great City Schools, the National PTA, National Boards of Education, of course, the NEA, National School Boards Association, yada, 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 yada. And they say in this, buried in this letter, they say that this is not just a one-year thing, all this money. They estimate to address the requisite social and emotional academic needs of children over the next 5 years, districts on average will need to spend increase educational spending by 21% each year when compared to their current expenditures. That means 21% this year, and then next year, 21% on top of that. You getting the math? Yeah, let's spend a quadrillion. Get the Bitcoin out. There's another kind of coin, too. Be using. Mark Cuban likes it. Put him in charge of this. Nobody will think it's real money. Do whatever you want. So that's where we are. It is stunning, to put it mildly, that this is being taken seriously. So let's put a stop to it before it happens. No. No to what I'm calling big summer school. These people that have no sense of kids. You know your kids or grandkids. You know what this has been like through Zoom. You know what a horror it is for the families, etc. Why go down this path? That would be the reason part of Reading, Writing, and Reason here with Dom Giordano, our weekly podcast By the way, you can always find it at 1210WPHT.com. If you happen to miss it on a Saturday or Sunday, 1210WPHT.com. I'm thrilled with how this is going, and we have a lot of other guests that are lined up coming up in the very near future. But the Dr. Seuss thing that we talked about this week, we are working on the next podcast, and it might drop early next week. We'll tell you about that, because we've been working on this big guest. It's hard to find people publicly that will stand up to debate and argue that Dr. Seuss should be treated in the manner he has been treated, and the memory of Dr. Seuss, and the wisdom of Dr. Seuss, and the great literature. But we found somebody. Now it's just bringing that to you. And this will be a heck of a debate. Zoning in on the book The Sneetches, for example. Now, if you have kids or grandkids, you know the moral of The Sneetches is be colorblind. Don't look at race. That's a great message. No, not today. You must look at race today. That's all part of the deal. That's called anti-racism. If you don't look at the person's race, you're suspect of being a racist. I know, convoluted. Wonder if Dr. Seuss would write a book on, kids, cancel culture, kids. We shouldn't be canceling each other. But the left tells us now that cancel culture really doesn't exist. Guys like me are egging us on. We're making it up. And I read a great piece that I'll share with you maybe the next podcast from the City Journal, How the Woke Stole Childhood. That's exactly what they're trying to do here with all this emphasis, all this nonsense around Dr. Seuss. So, remember, from today's show, get out there. You heard Ms. Kill. You heard what she's doing in Tredyffrin Easttown. Join your local school board. Monitor them. Put people up for office. You might be the one to run. Tell me about it. We may feature you. I'd like to see hundreds doing this in the primary, then in the general election. This is the battleground. They're the ones that determine. Wolfman Hack doesn't have a lock on schools anymore. It's the local school board. Hey, thanks for listening this week, each and every week, to our podcast, Reading, Writing, and Reason.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!